Kildare Today
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
I think Stevie Wonder and his Happy Birthday Band have left the building now at this stage, so I'm relatively safe. Just to continue with those couple of messages. Good morning, KFM. Regarding the Alec Baldwin story and that shooting on a film set in Mexico with a prop gun or a blank, certain types of blank ammunition, says Pat, could maim or even kill, depending on how close to each other, usually handgun type. And yeah, indeed. And thanks for the birthday wishes in regards to that as well. That's quite interesting in regards to blank information and all the greetings that are coming in from so many people. Trish of Proctor in Castle Dermot, have a good day. Just remember to sit down when all the balloons go pop. Yeah, surrounded by those. Anyway, thank you and keep your messages coming about everything, not just this significant day. Health Service Executive CEO Paul Reid has said that positivity is rising with what he calls quite concerning levels across the country and particularly in certain pockets of this of Ireland. More people are testing positive, more people are symptomatic. He said there's been what he calls a very significant shift in the age and the average age of those testing positive. He says we've also seen early identification of the flu virus. More concerns there. Advice to people to get that all flu jab. He said that in around 1 week, the HSE will begin vaccinating around 800,000 people in the older cohort of 60 to 80 with booster jabs. He also said the figures show that 52% of patients currently in the hospital in ICUs, intensive care units, are not vaccinated. And as we said, it comes as the number of outbreaks increased across the country last week, including in the workplace and in schools. 194 outbreaks last week, a total of 34 in the workplace, leading to 120 cases. An outbreak, by the way, is more than two linked cases. There were 15 outbreaks in schools, leading to 80 linked cases, compared with 3 outbreaks in schools the previous week. Let's find out more then in that particular context. Michael Gillespie is from Leixlip originally, General Secretary of the Teachers Union of Ireland. Good morning again, Michael.
Good morning, Clem.
Now, we've heard much talk in the past week, and when we spoke to you last, and your General Secretary John Boyle and yourselves and others in your union calling for enhanced safety measures, if I might call that, in schools. What's your current reaction to the complete loosening of restrictions?
Well, OK, I suppose just that John Boyle is the Irish National Teachers Union.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Yes.
UI, so we're second level.
You are, of course. My mistake.
There's a slight difference there. And if you look at it, the primary schools had 6 of the outbreaks last week of the 15, and there were 7 in special education settings, which, you know, special education settings, by their very nature, there's far more close contact between students and staff. And if you remember, that's why we were calling for them to be vaccinated earlier. So there's 7 there. And there was 1 in a post-primary setting last year, and then 1 unidentified. So the number in post-primary is lower. That's more than likely because we, again, you know, fair play to the students, the 12 to 18-year-olds, there's been a higher take of vaccination than we expected, you know, well in excess of 70%. And obviously the students are older and they're able to adhere to the mitigation purposes. But absolutely, the INTO are very concerned. You know, they had an outbreak in Wexford as well, publicised, of 19 cases. But again, I can't speak for them, but they've called for the return to close contact tracing. In second level, we're in a different position because both our staff and students are highly vaccinated. So the rules for us are very simple, that if you are symptomatic, whether you're vaccinated or not, you stay at home. And as you said earlier there, Clem, there's kind of a nervousness and an anxiety around it, and people want to protect themselves and protect their families. So now that we're starting to see the flu coming in as well, the people are staying at home. And they're coming back, you know, they're being tested all right, but they're not coming back positive. So, for example, in second level, last week there was 270 people went for tests and 14 were detected. Now, that's 5.2%. That's slightly higher than the average. But again, obviously, of that 270 who were taking a precaution, a lot of them could have the flu, do you know what I mean? So we're going to see that now, and people are staying out. And again, that's back to one of the big crises we have is substitutes. We don't have substitution teachers available. So that's a crisis on top of the crisis, if you know what I mean.
And do you think, are you of the view in the TUI that schools are still a safe place, relatively speaking?
Well, I know I wouldn't use the word safe, but they're safer because obviously when you go to school, we're the teachers and the staff and the students have been well indoctrinated. They are absolutely following the mitigation measures. I mean, the windows are open to make sure the ventilation, the CO2 monitors, which, again, if you remember, we were calling for last year, are now in place. And I think they're going to really start showing their importance when the cold weather comes, you know, so you'll be able to control the air. I mean, most teachers know now that they've learned the range is off. They know that if it starts going up near 800, open the windows. If it goes past, open the windows more. And if you're getting into 1400-1500 parts per million, you give a break to the class and you kind of fully ventilate the room. So we're also wearing masks, remember, in second level. They're not wearing masks in primary school. England got rid of masks, my opinion, prematurely in schools, and that's why they had 50,000 cases, you know, the other day. So the mitigation, I'm not saying it keeps them absolutely safe, but it's definitely keeping the levels down at 5.2% positivity, you know.
And would you be of a view, what would be your position on antigen testing?
Well, I'm not a public health expert. You listen to the pros and cons about false negatives and false positives, but I mean, whatever the public health advice, you know, is the TUI will tell its members to follow that.
Okay, now, given that we have this loosening going on, Michael, from today and whatever else, and given that in second-level schools, a considerable cohort of students would be in that 18 years of age, yes. 17, 18 years of age cohort, which will be welcoming the opening of nightclubs, of pubs, and so on and so forth, do you think that will represent an increased risk to your sector in the coming weeks?
Well, obviously, we'll have to wait and see what the outbreak levels are. I mean, the results I gave it were for week 41. I suppose week 42 and week 43, you know, we'll be closely looking at that to see do the numbers go up. I mean, the advice, though, would stand, though. I mean, if any of them are symptomatic in any shape or form, they don't go to school, you know, to keep the community in the school safe from spread. So maybe we'll see a rise in absenteeism because of that. Maybe we'll see a rise in testing, and then we'll know whatever the positivity comes back, we'll know what effect that's had. So again, it's down to watching the statistics, and because they're released weekly, you know, you can see patterns. I mean, the average positivity rate between August and the 16th of October was 4.1%, whereas the positivity rate last week was 5.2%. So we could see the slight increase. And I think that was following society. Society is showing that same increase, you know. Mm.
And Michael, anecdotally, and I know, I mean, you're not in the classroom every day of the week or anything like that. Anecdotally, what are you hearing as regards the attitudes of the student cohort in second level schools?
They're very good. They're taking it very seriously. They know that they're protecting their own families, you know, their relatives, the vulnerable, their neighbours. So I think they've shown a level of maturity, and even that's reflected by them. And I think most parents gave their sons and daughters the choice as to what they wanted to do. And I think that's why we have such an uptake. I mean, we're completely different to other countries in terms of our uptake on vaccinations. I suppose over the last couple of weeks, we've been seeing that the number of people who are being hospitalized are disproportionately from the area of the population that wasn't vaccinated, which I think shows that vaccinations, whereas it, you know, there is a breakthrough rate and people are getting COVID, but they're not getting COVID and being hospitalized if you've been vaccinated. So, you know, I think the public health advice about getting vaccinated has been heeded, and has been heeded in our cohort of 12 to 18, and I think it's worked.
Okay, and I want to finish on one final point, which you referenced earlier in the bulletin, of course. Everything in terms of whether schools can function or not is predicated on having enough staff. You're releasing figures, I understand, later about what you're calling a teacher retention crisis, saying that it's worsening. And is that, as much as anything else, which could bring us to a situation, hopefully not, where schools might have to start closing again?
Yeah, obviously a school has a certain level of health and safety, and there must be teachers for every classroom. And if you don't have teachers, you may end up facing a decision that because you don't have teachers, you might have to send a group home or a set of classes home because the teachers aren't available. And that's what we're seeing now. The teachers aren't available. And it's almost like a perfect storm. You know, we've got a huge demographic increase. Peak second level isn't until 2026, where we nearly have 500,000 students in second level. They already exist because they're already in primary school moving through the system. On top of that, we have a scarcity of teachers in certain areas because they've got transferable skills, the languages, the practical subjects, the sciences. They've got transferable skills, and you know, there's a scarcity of them in the wider economy, and they've got options to leave teaching. So it's, as I said, it's a perfect. So add to that, then we've got a high. You know, if you're symptomatic, you have to stay at home, and we can't get subs to replace them because any teacher that's qualified has got a job already.
And given the current circumstances, the old days, Michael, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with, I would have been familiar with them, was when the teacher was out, the whole class of that teacher was packed off into another classroom to double up in the seats, and everyone squeezed together. That's no longer possible.
So, not with the COVID, because, especially in primary schools where you've created the pod system, no, that can't be done,
All right, we'll await those figures later on as well. But Michael Gillespie, General Secretary of the Teachers Union of Ireland, of course, Second Level Teachers Union. Thank you once again, Michael. Have a great Bank Holiday weekend.
And the same to you, Clem.
Thank you indeed for joining us on Kildare Today. Now, let's go back to some of your messages in regards to that. Where was I? I was on the WhatsApp where some people, like Fran, are very busy crunching the numbers. And Fran says, happy birthday, Clem. I'm sure you have a birthday every year, but I never heard the fuss like this morning previously. So I presume, are we talking about a zero birthday, which might not be a six or an eight? Well, Fran, not quite, but I think you should join on Garda Síochána. You have a very good detection ability. A very big happy birthday to you. Hope you have a lovely day. Patsy Dry, thank you. All people are so kind. Again, someone says, I'll have to ring Tom Curry over in Newbridge, says Mary Donnelly. Will you wish my friends a happy golden anniversary? They're Paddy and Rose Campbell, and it's Rose's birthday too. Well, happy birthday to you, Rose, and happy birthday to Rose and Paddy, or happy anniversary. That's a very significant one as well. Joe's in Kildare says, the people say they're not vaccinated. Are they the ones that got it 6 months ago and it's worn off? I don't know, Joe, in relation to that. Let's take a break. Up next, we're heading to the Kilcullen area, or particularly, I should say, the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, with Councillor Tracy O'Dwyer.
The Mental Health Minute from KFM and the HSE.
There are loads of things that make us feel a bit anxious from time to time, like an empty phone battery, or a full work schedule, or Christmas decorations in September. What's that all about? My point is, it's perfectly normal to feel anxious sometimes, but if you experience ongoing anxiety that's affecting your everyday life, it can have a serious impact. One of the best things you can do is try and identify times and things that make you anxious and try and do less of them. Equally, find things that help you de-stress, like exercising or just relaxing, and try to do more of those. Don't forget to talk to friends or family, because nothing helps as much as reaching out and talking about how you're feeling. Whatever you're going through, you can always find trusted information on a range of mental health supports and services at yourmentalhealth.ie or through the 24-hour Your Mental Health information line on 1800 111 888. I think my battery's about to...
There goes his battery again, Paul Power. Just one thing I want to mention before we go to the break, by the way. In nursing homes last week, there were 11 outbreaks resulting in 180 linked cases, also up slightly on the previous week. And latest figures showing that the number of patients with COVID-19 is now 448. Well, those figures are a day or so old at this stage, and I'm sure they're changing worryingly upwards.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
KFM.
Now, before 10, we'll be hearing from Councillor Aidan Farrelly about that issue we brought up here during the week regarding a sign that went up at Mainham Cemetery in Clane, that it was to be a lawn cemetery, designated a lawn cemetery, and no decorations, ornaments, chairs, any accoutrements at all were to be allowed. People in the area are very concerned about that and as to what changes it might mean. Councillor Aidan Farrelly will join us to give us the update of what is going to or not going to happen. Now, thank you so much to everybody sending in the old birthday greetings. And the big inquiry at this stage is, what age is Clem? I might, in a weak moment, reveal it very, very soon. Fran was pretty close to the mark, all right. Best wishes from Tommy Kinnan and his daughter, Catherine. Thank you indeed both for that. Also, as Johnny Logan would say, what's another year, says Jim Fitzpatrick in Kingsgrove in a tie. Indeed, what's another year as well. Colette says, good morning, Clem. All that fuss about your birthday. Is it a happy 66th birthday? Says Colette. No, Colette, it's not. And Clem Owen, a Kildare October weather record. The driest month of October on record in Ireland was recorded at the Naas CBS rain gauge in October 1969. When just 2.5 millimetres of rain fell in the entire month, an Irish record which was verified by the Met Office. Never heard that before. Is that Liam Kenny sent that in? Good man, Liam, Mr. Encyclopedia. Thank you for that. KFM, higher cases of COVID than last year. No flu last year. The majority of people are vaccinated. What's going on? Mary, the vaccination that people we've all been getting is for the coronavirus. It's not for the flu. We all need now to go and get our flu injection. What age is Clem, says another? Competition time on KFM. Send answers on a 10 euro note, says Tommy Curry over in Newbridge, as regards guessing the birthday. Hi Clem, happy birthday, from Delia and Pat in Maynooth. That's very kind of you. The Heenahan's up there, and thank you indeed. And by the way, on that note, if you want to guess, maybe I might reveal it at some stage.
All right, moving on now, and joining me on the line is Fine Gael councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Tracy O'Dwyer. Tracy, good morning to you and welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much and good morning to your listeners.
We're going to start off with a motion that you brought forward to the recent meeting of the Kildare Newbridge MD, and that was you wanted the council to provide an update on their meeting with Irish Water regarding the failure at the Ballymore Eustace wastewater treatment plant. Just briefly, what response did you get from the council? Because I want to move to water issues in Kilcullen as well in a few moments.
The reason I brought forward this question was on the back of the recent reports that the water was unsafe in Gorey, and Ballymore plant was mentioned as well. So I was just keen to make sure that the water supply to our area was also safe, given the recent discussions about water and the fact we've been working on it now for a number of months. But the council did confirm that the plant in Ballymore Eustace, well, first of all, is operated by Dublin City Council on behalf of Irish Water, but that Kildare County Councillor has been fully satisfied that the water supply is safe and continues to be fully compliant with the drinking water regulations. So I suppose that was peace of mind, that regardless of what the water looks like and it smells like currently in our area, Kildare County Council are confirming that the water is safe.
Well, that kind of, I suppose, brings me on then to the issue in Kilcullen, because you posted on your Facebook page in the last few days that Irish Water have agreed to meet the residents of Kilcullen and some of the people around there due to issues going on in particular estates, and indeed the colour of the water is very unpleasant.
It is indeed, and I suppose just to clarify, they've agreed to meet me, not necessarily the residents, but this has been an ongoing issue. The water supply for Kilcullen, surrounding areas, Brannockstown, has been changed over, and we knew that was happening from the Liffey supply to the Barrow supply. And those works have been ongoing really since last year. So, you know, there was flushing of lines going on, and we could explain the discoloration of the water, which would ease after a day or two once works had finished. But it is still continuing, and those works are complete, and line flushing is also complete. You know, I've been in constant emails between back and forward with Irish Water, and while they are engaging with me, I feel I'm getting the same response the whole time, and that was fine while works were ongoing, but works are complete at this point. So I don't really accept the response that I'm still getting, that it's ongoing works, or that it's, if they run the water for a night or a couple of hours, it will clear up, because it's just not happening. And it's not good enough that residents can't drink the water coming out of their tap. You know, it's adding a financial burden to families having to buy extra water, you know, particularly families with young babies, you know, and older people who are vulnerable. And while the water may be safe, you certainly can't drink it. Do you know, if you've seen the colour of it and the smell that's coming off it, you wouldn't drink it. And whether it's safe or not, we should be able to drink the water, and currently we're not. So I'm delighted to say that only as of yesterday, Irish Water phoned me and confirmed that they will have the engineer responsible for the Kirkcullen area meet me through Zoom, and that we will go through all the issues, and hopefully we can get some answers and clarity to the situation for residents following that meeting. And I'll update you once that meeting is over.
Absolutely. That meeting takes place in the coming weeks, and as you say, if you do get an update on it, bring it to us if you would. Back to the meeting then, and you wanted the council to confirm if it would consider outsourcing housing grant inspections under the Housing Adaptation Grants for Older People and People with a Disability scheme for residents in the municipal district.
Yes, and I obviously had this motion gone in before our full council on Monday, and we had a really healthy debate on Monday about funding for the housing department, within the housing department, the housing adaptation grant section and the self-help grant section. And, you know, as of the meeting on Monday, it became very apparent that the issue really is not that if the council had more funding, that all this backlog could be cleared. The issue is more that there's a lack of internal resources, and along with other complex issues that are not helping the backlog at the moment. So, you know, I asked again the question that has the department of housing being asked that if Kildare Council could request additional funding, could that be used for outsourcing the occupational therapist element of the work to go in and carry out the assessment to speed up the backlog and just clear the backlog, not as a long-term solution, but just if we could clear the current backlog of applications and move forward. The response I got was that it is not being considered to outsource. I did discuss that this morning, and I feel that given the discussions on Monday and the numbers that were quoted on Monday and the information that Kildare County Council have not actually requested additional funding from the department, I think there is an option there that we should explore it maybe a little bit further, and I expressed that at the meeting. So okay. I am hopeful that the council will explore asking for money from the government, because it is there, it is available. The government actually have said that they have written to all local authorities requesting they make a second round of submission for approvals, and Kildare have yet to respond. So I think it would be great if we could at least tick off the box that we have money and then maybe deal with the resources issue. But if we could look at outsourcing just to clear the backlog, I think that would be worth considering.
Okay, and finally, Tracy, then, is there an issue with street lights around the Brannockstown and Grange Moor area?
Well, the issue is that we don't have street lights along a certain section. It's from, for the residents that know the area, it's from Brannockstown up to the turn for Giltown Road. We locally would call it the back road. It's well walked, and there is a man-made path as such worn into the road that goes from the village up to the turn off for Giltown. But there are no lights, and it is walked every hour of the day, even throughout the winter. It is a regular walk. So I just thought, I welcome the response, it's actually very positive. The council are going to come out, carry out a feasibility assessment and see if it's possible. And then I suppose once it's possible, we will just find the money, have to find the money for it. But I think if the assessment's carried out first, we will get an idea of how much we need. And it's definitely a step in the right direction, you know. Yeah. Build the lights, and the next thing I can look for is the path.
Okay, bit of good news there. With those motions brought forward to the recent Kildare Newbridge Municipal District meeting, Fine Gael Councillor Tracy O'Dwyer. Thanks for joining us, Tracy.
Thank you and good morning.
Indeed, thanks, Hone and Tracy, for that very comprehensive roundup. We'll be back with the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District with Councillor Fiona McLaughlin Healy. We're also heading to the Athy Municipal District with Councillor Ivan Keatley. Keeping it local here on KFM. Now, you're all very, very kind out there. Some of you have been mischievous in regards to that. Happy birthday, Clem. Have a great day. Best wishes, Mary Hughes Whelan, 21 again. Well, how are you, Mary? Great to hear from you. And certainly, yeah, memories are made of this, aren't they, Mary? And 21 again yourself, I'd say, too, in regards to that. No, I'm certainly not 21. I'm 14 in my head. And if people want to guess what I am, look, I shouldn't have such a hang-up about revealing it. And let's just say I'm in very, very good company to be still involved in the media and on air when you consider the likes, for example, of who Owen might I be talking about there now? Gay Byrne, maybe. Who else would I be talking about? Terry Wogan, yeah. Maybe Mr. Parkinson might be another one. Owen is probably saying that it's and the number of them who are dead as well, maybe, in regards to that. But no, we'll see what we'll do in a couple of minutes' time. Wishing Clem a great day. Thank you indeed, Tommy O'Reilly in Newbridge. I hope I have many more as well, Tommy, but you know. Tempus fugit, they say. Things are moving on. And it does, as you get older, you know. What age am I? Owen Beattie, go on.
Am I revealing it? The big reveal?
Well, why not? Why just have a hang up in it? Right. Where's Cruella de Vil? Is she out there?
I'm surprised she's not
she
revealing
is.
It.
She is. She's here. She's coming in.
Yeah.
We'll do the big reveal, and I suppose we'll let her do it because she's the mysterious one that loves birthdays. How are you doing, Cruella?
Hello.
Right, go on.
I think you should reveal it. Don't be so coy about it. I think genuinely, it's a gift to get older.
Yeah.
Right, go on, Clem. You reveal it.
It's easy for you to say when you're 20 something, you know, and everything else. Yeah, I'm 69 today.
Happy birthday!
Well done, Clem.
I can't
that
believe it.
That was so tough.
I can't believe it. You know, I really can't. And all these balloons that Kira put in studio this morning, they were all happy 60th birthday balloons. And then with a marker, she wrote +9 on all the balloons.
Which it's hard to get 69 balloons. Yeah. Yeah. They're not that popular in the shops.
It begins to confront you with your own mortality. And I suppose when I was your age, and both of you in your 20s, and I have to say this much, that working with the likes of yourselves keeps me young. It does, really, because you're mad hatters, the two of you. But you're extremely great professionals as well, I have to say. And I suppose in my previous existence, it was working with young people has managed to keep me. Maybe I'm just completely deluded, actually.
Well, I have to say one thing about you is you really never get sick.
Touch wood. She's putting an X on me, Owen.
No. You eat things that are like days and days and days out of date. Sometimes things that might have other things growing on them. Like, he's got some immune system.
I knew I shouldn't have let her in.
No, but that's something to be proud of.
Listen, okay. Now, the big reveal has been done. Okay.
Are people surprised?
Next year is the big year.
The one thing that I used to often wonder on radio when you listen to somebody was
what they look like. Yeah.
But I recall, I'll just do one other little thing before we go to Aidan Farley. I recall 20 plus, maybe 30 plus, 25 plus years ago when I was on CKR, Carlo Kildare at the time. And I went out one day to do a commentary in a match and in Dr. Colin Park in Carlo. And the stream of people going by me, the general comment was usually, Jesus, Clem, you sound much younger looking on the radio. And I said, okay, got that message. And as others say to me, Clem, you have a great face for radio. Cruella would never say that to me now, but listen, thank you. You've been very kind this morning.
Happy birthday.
And Owen as well, very kind. Got in there with the little gift yesterday, which was very much appreciated as well. Anyway, Fran, you weren't too far off when Fran was doing his mathematics.
Yeah, he was. I was thinking, Fran, you're just a year off, Fran.
He's very close. Anyway, thanks, lads. We'll come back to it in a minute. Now, leave me alone. I have to get counselling to deal with where I've arrived at. Aidan Farley, are you there?
I am, Clem.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, Aidan. Right, Maynham Cemetery, Aidan. Tell us more. That big sign that went up that nothing was going to be allowed in the way of ornaments or accoutrements or call it whatever you will. People very upset in the area. What's the update you have for us?
Understandably, Clem, you know, it caused a lot of concern and anger for people who, you know, really take that place, you know, so seriously, and it's such a sensitive issue for people to go and be with their loved ones and remember their loved ones. But the council confirmed to me yesterday that the sign essentially was installed in the wrong place. in the cemetery, and they've committed that they're going to move that sign in the next couple of days. But also, and I think more importantly, that no retrospective action will take place based on the bylaws. So they came in 2018, but essentially any plot that's in use now currently is not, the council won't even be considering that. It's essentially for all new plots.
All right.
So anyone that had the concerns in terms of existing plots, they don't need to worry. The council have confirmed they'll be taking no action there whatsoever.
All right, Aidan Farley. Thank you indeed, Aidan, for that update. People will be relieved in the area, and we were delighted to bring that topic to people's attention during the week. The council also issued a short statement in regards to that, which essentially is what Aidan Farley is telling us. So thank you, Aidan, and good morning to you on that. Now, the flood of... I don't want to make this all about Clem, but it would be rude of me not to acknowledge the birthday greetings that were coming in. And now that I've done the big reveal, Patricia says, Clem, life is not a matter of counting the years, but it's a matter of making the years count. How wise is that? Do we have to pay in at the... Can we pay at the turnstiles on Sunday at the county finals, or have we to buy tickets? No, you can't pay at the turnstiles. You have to buy tickets up front online in regards to that. Minute attempts to regain the titles of party capital and